And let us pray. Father in heaven, we come to you this day hearing your scriptures, asking that we may be empowered, encouraged, and enriched by the word that you have for us this day. Help us to hear that message loud and clear. And Lord, I ask that the meditations of my heart and mind be a reflection of your true light unto this world and unto this people this day. In your perfect Son, Jesus Christ's name, we pray. Amen. Okay, so you're not expecting this beginning. Hashtag blessed. Just saying, hashtag blessed. Okay, this is a coffee mug that I own. And I sport it around church very happily because I believe it. Hashtags like this are actually used commonly in social media. When people post new cars, new jobs, new rings from engagements and marriages, the list goes on. So maybe you aren't social media obsessed like me and my millennial counterparts. So you're not so familiar with what this hashtag business is about. I'm sure nonetheless then that you are likely very familiar with the concept of blessing in a similar way, of being blessed. My gramps and nana's generation thought of blessings as gifts God gave us in life that we were to be thankful for. More specifically, however, gifts that were non-commodifiable. One more time. Gifts that were non-commodifiable. My granddaddy Sharp, a southern gentleman, would say our family blessing beginning as follows. Lord, we thank thee. And he would continue to then name various riches in life that were gifts only God could give. Gifts of family, life, health. Blessings are a peculiar topic for the faithful. There are various theological stances that one can take on the matter. Either blessings come as objects provided for by God, like those new cars, or blessings are intangible gifts that no price can produce. Only God's majesty can give, like that of newborn babies, that of renewed health. So I started thinking, you know, is a blessing a thing, or is it an immaterial gift? It seems, given our scripture's witness on the matter, it is actually both. A blessing can come in object form, as fish and bread multiplied 5,000-fold to feed the masses. A blessing can also come in non-physical form, that intangible kind of blessing, like the beneficial relationship that Jacob had with God when he wrestled with the Lord at Penuel. So then the question is, how are we supposed to identify a blessing if it comes in various forms? Certainly not every tangible gift we receive is a blessing, and not every relationship we engage is blessed by God. As an object lesson, take a hand-me-down car, for example. Now, I just went through this, so I'm preaching on this point. Say you receive that as a gift. But the gift giver does not necessarily tell you that there are multiple repairs needed for the vehicle to even run. Now, instead of a blessing on your hands, you have a dilemma on your hands and no reliable automobile Is that a gift? Not so sure. As a relationship lesson, consider also the frenemy. This is another millennial term, a word that combines the terms friend and enemy to describe a person who on their face appears to be your friend, but is actually more like an enemy, a frenemy. Now, hand-me-down cars and frenemies are two examples of gifts that seem to turn out to be curses. A material item is more cumbersome than it's actually worth, and an immaterial friendship turns sour when it was intended to be sweet. We often think of the counterpart to blessings when we consider this topic, and we think of them as curses. It seems as though some things in life are blessings and some things in life are curses. Maybe you think that you received that car in poor condition because you deserved to pay some penance for formerly irresponsible spending on cars, or something like that. And somehow, this gift that you've inherited is more like a curse, and it's God's way of evening the playing field, making that former wrong right. Or maybe you have a frenemy around because you are a bad friend to someone deserving a good friend. And this is karma coming back around to get you back. Either way, these are not gifts. They are not blessings. Or are they? Our Christian God does not fight us. Our Christian God does not smite us. Our Christian God does not curse us. There is not a concept of karma with Christ. Instead of karma, we are met with forgiveness. We are not met with merciless justice from a punitive God. No. Rather, our God is so big and so powerful that he uses even the pitfalls in our lives to bring us blessings. That hand-me-down car might just be a stepping stone to a bright, shiny new car. It's just waiting in the wings. That frenemy might be a growth point for you in determining who you want to surround yourself with going forward. So if we are to affirm God's sovereignty and hold fast to the Calvinist view of providence, which makes God's providence huge, then we are called to see all of life's challenges as blessings. To be fair, this is quite the challenge. Hand-me-down cars and frenemies barely scratch the surface of challenges that seem like curses. You know what I'm talking about. When people we love die, when people we love or we are diagnosed with serious illnesses, when we face divorce, custody arrangements that we would rather not get into, when we can't seem to fulfill dreams for ourselves, when we seem to keep stepping on our own tails by making the same mistake time and again, we start to lose hope. We start to think that promises of hope are null and void, and there is a dark night of the soul that washes over our spirits for a spell. Jacob's wrestling with God, And Jesus feeding the 5,000 both contain stories about blessings. But each story also contains a preliminary challenge. Before they get their blessing, there is a dark night of the soul. Jacob wrestles with a stranger in the night and gets his hip injured before he finally gets his blessing. And Jesus does heal the sick and the hungry. Sorry, he heals the sick and he feeds the hungry. But prior to those miracles, let's be clear, there was a crowd of sick and hungry people. In each story, there is a pattern of challenge followed by blessing. If you look a bit more closely at each of these stories, the patterns overlap in more ways than one. Jacob is injured in his wrestling, blessed, and then his name is changed from Jacob to Israel. Alternatively, in the gospel lesson, the sick and the hungry come as they are, broken in their bodies. They come to Jesus. And it is after Jesus blesses and breaks the bread that they are then changed too. From their state of illness and hunger to a state of wholeness and fullness. For Jacob and the hungry, they come as they are, to God and to Jesus. It is after their divine encounters that they are changed. And in each story, there is change for the better. Jacob is blessed, and the hungry are fed. When life hands you a battle in the night with an unknown assailant, which is figurative for all kinds of challenges, like fighting ourselves, our loved ones, God. God wants us to prevail in a holy way that changes us for the better. When life kicks our behinds and we are worn out from those kinds of battles, we are sick and tired, and we are definitely hungry. In those times of need, God heals us and God feeds us. God will bless you, brothers and sisters. But you have to come to God. Jacob was unwilling to let God go, even though he was in a wrestling match with him. And all the hungry who were fed at the Sea of Galilee, they sought out Jesus' healing, even though they were sick, tired, and hungry. So, a hymn, a favorite family hymn, Onward Christian Soldiers. That is a somewhat debatable hymn in this day and age for its warlike content, but there's something I like about that hymn. It acknowledges that there are battles in life. I'm not talking about the cosmic battle between God and Satan, but I'm talking about the battles that are life's challenges, those daily challenges. We only sometimes have the ability to choose our battles. Sometimes battles choose us. And when they do, we have to choose how to fight them. Sometimes we have to engage them and tackle back like Jacob did. Sometimes we fight back and we just don't win. And when that happens, we can't just throw in the towel. We have to journey on like those hungry who went to the Sea of Galilee to seek the food and the healing that we need. You don't just give up the fight and let defeat define you. No. You seek the face of the Lord and you let defeat take a punch in the face. Because our Lord is victorious. God is always victorious, whether it be in causing us to fight back when life hands us lemons, or if it be in bringing balm to the soul when those lemons worsen our wounds. God was the victor in Jacob's story, and God is the victor in the feeding of the 5,000. It is our job as Christians to not give up, to keep coming to God at each turn in our journeys, trusting that a blessing does indeed lie before us, even if we can't see it yet. It's not yet daybreak. The food has not yet been prayed for. But trust in time. The fight will be won with God. The daybreak will come, and your name will be changed. The blessing will be said, and the scarce food will be multiplied to feed the thousands. With our God, all things are possible. And we have to fight to believe that. Keep fighting the good fight for your faith. Do not give up your hope in our God, and you will be changed. You will see the blessings that abound from our good and gracious God. We are not just going to inherit blessings by sitting around and looking pretty, which you all do. Whether you come to God as a pugnacious Jacob or as a worn-out, hungry soul, you will be changed if you come to God in Christ. The miraculous power of God to change is not contingent on anything. Our Creator and Savior will always be capable of amazing things. What is contingent on something is our ability to see life's lemons as blessings. That requires routine return to relationship with God. We are not always able to see as God does. We can't see that the challenges in life are somehow intended to prosper us. But even when we cannot see, for it is not yet daybreak, we are called to engage our God until the dawn rises. We are not always able to see God's plan to change a scarce amount of food into a plentiful feast. But maybe the blessing hasn't been said yet. Maybe the bread is yet to be broken. So while you are waiting for the breakthrough and the incoming of your blessings, which are indeed promised, be patient, but don't give up. Keep fighting for your relationship with God to strengthen, no matter how wild that fight gets. You gotta hang tough. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.